Our Bible reading today is Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 31. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem, and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and how he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Hellenists, for they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. This is the word of the Lord.
Convicted and converted. And our preacher today is Brother Ikechukwu Onunkwo.
Good to be alive, right? Bless the name of the Lord. I believe that one of the reasons we are considering today's topic, going by what we have been doing in this quarter, is so that we can, by the grace of God, replicate or, you know, see the same results as recorded for us in the book of Acts, right? Am I correct? The burden of my heart indeed is that we all, individually and as a team, as a family here, will experience what our brothers and sisters in the first century in the early church experienced, and God will find expression through our lives in this generation. But if you permit me, can I start by asking you this question? Do you really, really want to be an instrument in the hands of God as the likes of Stephen, Paul, Philip, and the rest of them were? How many of you want to see God manifesting in your life like we read in the book of Acts? Are you ready? It's costly. But since you raised your hand and you say that you're ready, yes, the Lord will give you all it takes and he will walk through you in Jesus' name. Can I ask that we bow our heads as we pray? First, can I ask you to ask the Lord again with the words of your mouth? Touch my life this morning in a way like never before. Solemn, simple prayer to your Father. I have not much to offer you. I'm only a messenger. Dear Lord, we are here again. We come before your throne and we ask, touch us again. We come like the blind man whom you touched the first time, but who needed a second touch in order to see well. Lord, touch us again. That's my simple cry. Touch us again. Holy Spirit, go ahead and do the Father's bidding in our midst this morning. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The account of Saul is a story that the history of mankind can never recover from. And I think I want to be like that. Paul, Saul, like Jesus, figures that we can never, ever push aside, no matter where we are, no matter what we do. But when we look at their lives and we look at what's happening today, there seems to be a far cry. In the course of my meditations up until this morning, I was just asking, if God were to draw parallel lines, you know, one parallel, which is the book of Acts and what we've seen them achieve by the Spirit of God, and to draw ours today, what will he say? If we are going to ever record what these men and women, boys and girls recorded in their days, then it's necessary for us to have the same experience that they had. It may not be the same circumstances, but there are certain things that are non-negotiable. There are certain things that we cannot gloss over or skip if we are going to see the results that they saw. And I say this because God is not a respecter of persons. Of course, there are quite a number of things. But looking at the topic before us today, there are a few things I just want to bring our attention to. You know, as I was reading this account yet again, it's interesting to know what the first few verses tell us. And I want to just highlight that before I go into the meat of the matter. He said that Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. There are two things there that are amazing to me. You know, many times we do several things in the body of Christ. But can I ask you the question God was asking me as well? By whose authority? You see, Saul here, he went to the chief priest to collect letters so that he can engage his mission. The letter was a letter of authority to do harm to the believers of those days, the people of the way, the disciples. In his own mind, he was doing God's work. And as soon as he had that letter, he felt empowered. By whose authority are we doing the things that we're doing? They could be leaders, but the Lord was querying that. And the Holy Spirit was dropping in my heart that a man can be zealous, running pillar to post, but who has not received the divine authority to do what he's doing. The second thing I noted, the encounter we read of Paul, his conversion happened on his journey to Damascus. Please, has anyone checked to see the distance between Damascus and Jerusalem? This man was ready by zeal to walk a week's journey between two countries. Damascus is in Syria. This man was on his way by foot to another country, zealous and doing, you know, what he felt was God's work. No wonder he had the authority to write in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 3, that, "Kai, my people Israel, they have zeal without knowledge. They have gathered for themselves a system of righteousness that has nothing to do with God's righteousness." Really, I pray that if any one of us happen to be in that bucket, God will throw us out. You know why I pray that? That is the category of people that is most difficult to reach out to. We are like the proverbial frog in boiling water. You are there and you are dying, off point, but being celebrated by men who can only see physically. People are clapping for you. Oh, you are doing great. Lo and behold, no authority. My business this morning is not necessarily the topic of conversion and conviction. I pray it happens to you. And I see something. I see something in the Word of God. There are necessary things that must happen if we are going to have the same results that they had. You see, in those days when they prayed, A.W. Tozer said the place shook. But he said, in these days we paid and we took the place worlds apart. I've been to places. Somebody came to me on a mission. She just finished a missionary trip. And one of our studies as we were studying, the Word of God came to her. She came weeping. And he said, "Sir, I just came back from a 3-day missionary journey. But I slept with my pastor the weekend before and I went." I said, "What?" "I have been to several places. And the people standing in front there are coming from the brothels." It's not a story. It's, you know, brothel to come and stand before God. "What's happening?" "And we are gathering together today, pampering our egos. Conviction is not a matter in the church anymore. But we have many confessions. God will deliver us from empty confessions in the name of Jesus. I want to be continuously convicted." God played a small skit to me as I was having my time alone with him. And he was trying to show me this matter. Conviction is a legal word. When you look at the law court, a conviction is passed when a verdict is given by the judge, isn't it? So you see the plaintiff or the defendant in that dock, When the verdict is given, after all the lawyers have come here and, you know, have made all their defense, there is that final verdict that he can do nothing about, that clearly defines and declares to him all the points, all the charges where he's been found wanting. And of course, the Lord takes his course. And the Lord said, see what my people do. And I was listening. He said, my people have gathered for themselves lawyers, that when they come to the dock in a place like this, where I'm laying charges against them, they have this first lawyer. He's called Natural Reasoning. That's lawyer number one. When the Lord is bringing a case to them, Natural Reasoning says, but we're only human. Tell me who is not without fault. And this lawyer studied in the Harvard of hell. He knows how to defend his clients. There is another lawyer, the lawyer of secularism, that allows us to exclude anything about Christ specifically in other matters of life. Keep Christ where he belongs. Confine him to the pulpit. Confine him to the church. Leave him out of my personal life. There is another lawyer that allows Christ to coexist with other gods. So when God is bringing a charge to us, we are quick to excuse ourselves. I pray that God will convict us. You know, I'm speaking to you like this. Did you notice? You know, we don't have time to begin to read. But if you check your Philippians chapter 3, you will see Paul giving an account of himself. And he said, when it comes to the matters of the law, blameless. A first-class Pharisee, a Pharisee of the first order. Pharisees are no mean people at all. That is why he was so convicted in his old life that there was nothing too hard for his own God. So walking from Jerusalem to Damascus was nothing. He will easily do it. What he believed made him comfortable with the stoning of Stephen. He watched it. As far as he was concerned, that was an infidel who must die. Do you know there are people who kill today and feel that they are doing the right thing? Our response is not violence. That's why they have not been converted. God must give us compassion. They are blind. They were captive slaves like Saul, who never knew what he was doing. That's a prayer for my own heart. Lord, increase compassion in my heart. So when I see these people with their monstrous behaviors and acts, I will learn to lift them up in prayer. They don't know what they are doing. So I see that it's possible for a man and a woman to be doing something that seems great, but it's of God. So this morning, if you have hired any lawyer, may God rid you of those lawyers. We were born with them, actually. They tend to pamper us. But you see, if you let them hold sway, they will rob us of God's eternal destiny. What did Jesus say to his disciples when he was leaving on this matter? We are needing a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. We are needing a fresh baptism of the Spirit of God upon our lives. You know, we can be saying many things, how much we belong to God. We can be speaking in tongues even. We can be preaching and doing things. But have you asked yourself? Just do a check. This is December. How many disciples have you raised for Jesus? Who has said to you, your God will be my God. Where you are going to go, I will go. Who has said to you, because of this thing I saw in you, I will stop forever doing this thing or the other. It's because there's something missing. It's not my work to change anybody's life. Oh. But you see, the fruits are obvious. How are we coming month upon month? If our business is dropping in profitability, we are worried. But our father's business is suffering loss, we are not worried. There is something missing. What sort of assessments are we doing? Something is missing. Jesus, in John chapter 16, from verse 7, he began to say something. And this is the missing link in the church today. It says, it's expedient for me that for you that I leave. Because when I go, another will come. The comforter. And when he comes, his first work is that he's going to convict the world of sin. That is the first necessary conviction that must happen in a man's life for him to be truly converted and for his life to be an avenue by which God will advance his kingdom on earth. He says, when the Spirit of God comes, he will convict you of sin. When you came to the Lord, did you meet Jesus like this? Were you convicted of sin, or you just decided that, let's just switch gears? Do you know Christians today don't know the difference between what is sinful and what is not? The lines are blurred. There is a missing gap. There's a missing link. It is a gap of conviction. Jesus was very clear that when the Spirit of God comes at the point of your new birth, what is sinful will be clear to you. Paul was doing what he was doing before now. But when the Holy Ghost came, when Jesus was speaking to him, immediately it was clear. If you read his account in Acts chapter 22 and 26, you will hear him saying, I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I was doing it well. How can I claim that I am saved, but I'm still so abusive, and yet it doesn't occur to me? You know, it's so interesting. This moment you just curse somebody, maybe because the person is a help, or the person is somebody that is much lower than you, and you turn the other way and you're lifting up your hands. What sort of life is that? How could you have just falsified a document, and the next thing you are writing letters to the church? You are making demands of people when the demand upon your own life has not been responded to. Have you been convicted of sin? Are you clear of what sin is? Some of us mistake it, and we try to put righteousness and moral rectitude together. No, the next thing we must know, in addition to sin, is God's standard of righteousness. People don't also know. So you hear elders, old people, asking questions. So if I put away my wife, like the Pharisees, where is it in the Bible that God said we should not marry? Somebody actually said that the counsel not to marry wife is not for Christians, that it was for elders. What kind of gospel is that? And he's a leader in his ministry. We are not clear anymore. When he comes, in addition to God's righteousness, he will convict you of judgment. Do you know that this is the one we're growing up? We used to be careful about the things we said because Jesus told us that every word you say in the day of judgment, you will give account. But nobody is pointing us in that direction anymore. Matthew 12, 32, 32, 36 was like, you know, it was a badge in our heart, and it's still so. But we are flippant. We are careless. There's a small quarrel that I'm aware of now. It's because somebody raised a prayer point somewhere and that person went to discuss it in the village meeting. There is a problem. We are flippant. We are not asking. This thing I'm saying, if I were to stand before Jesus, how will he see it? Rather, it is what we sister somebody say, or what we brother somebody say. May God's conviction come upon us afresh. Jesus also said, in addition to these three critical things, that when the Holy Ghost comes, he will exalt me. He will magnify me. He will glorify me. Do you know our younger ones today are not clear about the superiority of Christ? They seem to see Christ as one of the other nice prophets or great man of God. I'm sure somebody would have asked you sometime, is God and Allah the same? I'm sure you've heard that kind of question. It's growing. We're not clear anymore. Brethren, you see this matter we are dealing with. If conviction drops upon your life, nobody will be calling you for evangelism. Most of us, house helps pastors in their droves. You may have changed 10 in a year or 5. Can I ask you, how many of them have become a disciple? How many of them have you ever bothered about to sit upon their lives? Yes, you may have sent them to school, buy them expensive clothes. Please, how many people has clothes taken to heaven? We have drivers. We have guards. How do we see them? When a man is not convicted, he can never bring the result of a convicted fellow. When you yourself was never convicted, you cannot convict anybody. Conviction and conversion actually begets conviction and conversion. It's what so for us who were born in Christian hopes, who don't see anything wrong with ourselves. You know, Jesus said, to whom much is forgiven, the one has been forgiven much, loveth much. I see the way Paul is writing. I'm following his writing. I say, he's coming from somewhere. But may you understand, you don't have to be a drug addict like I was. You don't have to have been as terrible as I was in my own dark days. You know, God saved me greatly. I don't hide it. I understand mercy and grace. So that's why it's difficult for me to look down on anybody. I was picked from the dredge, from the trenches. You don't have to be as terrible as us. We are in the category of the chief sinners. But you see, even if you were just a good person, but may you realize that the girl who had never slept with any man and the prostitute are on the same page with God, except they receive Jesus Christ. It is not the sin that we commit that make us sinful. We are just terrible sinners. That's why we sin. Until we understand that we'll be coasting along like this man we saw in Acts chapter 9. You know, I've been begging God on my life, for my life and for you, us all here, before coming here, that none of us will be on this journey. Imagine the journey. Only to be introduced afresh to the Lord that made him. Only for him to know that all I was doing was off course. Only for him to know that actually I was on my journey to hell. Isaiah 2, I wonder how many years he's gone until that fresh coal of fire came again. We are needing that fresh touch. See, I believe Isaiah 2 very, very firmly. We know that in the last days, iniquity shall abound, yes. But also in the last days, the mountain of the Lord shall be established and all the nations shall flow to it. How will that happen? By converted men and women. The gospel is weak today because it's on the lips of unconverted men. That's the problem we're having. It's not the Lord's problem, it's our problem, because we keep having different shades of the experience of the sons of Sceva. The church seems weak, not because our Lord is weak. No! Let's look at it and go back to the place of our entry point. Were you really, really convicted about your sin? Did you really, really meet Jesus? It is not your coming to church that will make you converted. It is that first touch with Jesus, the revelation of the person of Christ, that grows daily. Therefore, there's a starting point. If that never happened to you, you are going nowhere. Our weakness will keep being amplified. Do you know, as we are in this place, we are enough for what God wants to do in the whole Lekki Ajaxis, even in this part of the world. And I'm believing God with you that we will break out in the name of Jesus. But I don't want to kid you. If you entered from the back door, nothing will happen. Even the enemy knows it. But you see, you also, you know. Are you really, really a Christian who was convicted of sin? Who is being daily convicted? There's a conviction at the beginning, you know, and there's a conversion that happens thereafter. But these days, when you sleep, when you fail and fall and offend the Lord, how is the state of your heart? If you are such that you have said, well, God, you know, we have the throne of grace, just stroll in and stroll out, you are in danger. Something is wrong. Something is wrong somewhere. But God is waiting for an army. You see that song we sang earlier on struck a chord in my heart. There is indeed an army. Because Jesus said, I build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. But there is also an army. That army, that type that Gideon was carrying about, that had no, God knew that these ones, they won't move hell an inch. If you are in that army, you will know. How is your love for Jesus? How is your personal consecration? What do you find most important? Coming to meetings with brethren or locking yourself with your master inside? Are you excited about serving the kingdom's interest or your own personal interest? Are you interested in what's happening in the body of Christ or are you just interested in what's happening in your immediate environment? I asked you earlier on, this is December from January. Who has come to Christ on the account of your being alive? These are questions we can't put aside. By what are you measuring your Christian growth and your walk with the Savior? Is it what people will see? You can give the whole world and your soul will still be in jeopardy. As you're sitting here this morning, you know, God is whispering to your heart. Are you beginning to get casual with God? Church is now a rote. Even your quiet time, you just read it, but God doesn't speak to you, you stand up. It doesn't bother you. There is a problem. God is not saying that to kill us. You are the army he wants to use. We are the army. But I say to you the truth. When a man has not met Christ, he can never do anything Christ has done. You will only copy it. You know, copy has the same imprint as the original. But I hope you know it's not the same. The copy detector will reject that copy. We are not ought to be. We shouldn't be copies. God intends us to be original, that he will spread out like the salt that we are. Alright? To go and do exploits for him. Where are you today in your walk with the Lord? Paul, we saw the great things he did. The mighty acts that he did. We can't recover from it. We can trace it to the conviction he had at the beginning. That encounter with Jesus. Look back. Do you know that it's possible that you've not started the journey? But it's not a problem. It's not late. Jesus is saying, come to me. Come. He's ready to make a fresh introduction to you. It could be that he even introduced himself to you before. But other things have come. Suddenly he's relegated in the background and is no longer our priority. See, I tell you, you can't make any impact. And that day is coming. We're going to stand before him and he will ask us, what did we do with the life that he gave us? What did you do with the opportunities I gave you? What did you do with the word that I gave you? People have mission, organizations have mission statements. People ought to have mission statements. Jesus, we saw his mission statement. Paul, in his account, we saw his mission statement in Acts chapter 22. What's yours? I find that many believers, our mission statements have to do with naira and kobo. How we become more comfortable. How we have more things for ourselves in this life. Life is only an opportunity to prepare for eternity. If you want to have results as the church had, then you are ready for another touch from the Holy Spirit. God is the one that is going to do it, but are you ready? You are going to lose certain things you are holding on to. He said, I should tell you, and I'm telling you now. There are many things you are holding on, just in case you are not clear about what I'm saying. There are things you are holding on that has not allowed him and move in your life the way he will. Do you want to release that to him this morning? It's up to you. I'm not the judge of that. This morning, as we pray, I want you to pray very sincerely. You know, God was showing me something one time. One Sunday, he told me, stay back, I want to talk to you today. As I knelt down and I was talking, I told my family, go to church. Daddy wants to pray and talk to the Lord today. And God said, you see, many times you go to church, you are not talking to me. You are praying for the benefit of the people around you. So sometimes I need to constrain you and show you that you need to live apart from people. So this morning, God is the only audience listening and watching. I want you to speak from your heart. is going to do some things. Things in your life that you have never seen before. Even 2019 is not late. He can still do something with you. But he will not skip this point. Have you ever been convicted of sin? Are you converted? Conversion means to change from one form to another. Bro, you are not yet converted if you remain the same old self, even though you proclaim Christ. You have not yet been converted. So it's not about you doing anything. No, it will change. The Lord changed me. My own was just to surrender, and he changed me. And my family can testify. People who I don't know say it. People in different countries that I've never met before. They say, this man, you're not something. There's something about you. I say, it's Jesus. I want us to bow our heads and talk to God. If you are here, it's possible, like Paul, you have been joining for many months in VFC. You have been coming and coming, but you are yet to hand over your life to Jesus Christ. Please, I want to appeal to you. Not because I appeal, because the Lord is speaking to your heart. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He brings us on a journey afresh. Do you want to indicate your state and talk to God this morning? The second category of people, you're here. You're already coasting. The fire of God, of the Holy Ghost, is no longer burning in your heart. It's even possible they are speaking in tongues, according to you. But your life lacks the power of one in whom the Holy Ghost dwells. Please, can you talk to God? And it's simple. Lord, touch me afresh. I need a fresh touch so that you can achieve through my life what you achieved in the lives of the brethren, the deacons, the apostles of the first church. Just pray. Are you already burning for God? Ask for more. Lord, I want to go yonder. I want to go deeper. Have you won one soul this year? Say, Lord, I want 5 more. It's not late. Have you won 5? Ask God for 10. Whatever it is that you are doing, ask for a fresh touch. Ask for a fresh touch. Lord, thank you. Before I pray, just was raised in my heart. If you're here, you want me to pray along with you. You're in the first category of people. You need that touch from the Master. You need to have that fresh encounter with Jesus. While our heads are bowed, you may want to stand to your feet. So we pray with you. And you're also here, Christian, brother, sister. But you know in your heart that your life is lukewarm. You're not enjoying that walk with God. You're just keeping body together. This today can be a fresh beginning for you. You may also want to stand, and I will pray with you. God has promised to be here with us. Just place your hand on your chest as you stand to your feet, and we pray. God is the one going to do it. God bless you. Be ready for the storm. He's going to do something great with your life. The days are wrapping up. Your prayer is simple. Lord, touch me afresh. Touch me afresh for greater exploits. The Lord is coming soon. If he comes today, what will I present before him? Please, let's talk to God. He's going to do something. It's not me. He's already doing it. He will set your heart on fire. He will make your face like a stone. And his enemies will surrender at your appearing. Heaven will no increase because of your life. Even in your old age, you will bear forth fruit according to his word in the name of Jesus. Lord, behold your servants, behold your children. All I simply ask this morning, O God, is you make yourself known afresh to them. You know, Peter had journeyed with you for a while, and he got to a point he began to be overconfident. But the time came, you needed him to be convicted gifted again so that he can be positioned for greater ministry. Appear to your children again. Strike their hearts with the sword of the Spirit, that they may be in the estate where they ought to be. You showed me that your children are not where they ought to be. Lord, you are the one who lifts one up and puts the other down. Please lift us up in the name of Jesus. Father, may we not talk about act and be without action. May we not just be talking about Acts of the Apostles and we are docile and dormant and not moving. Lord, come by your Spirit and move us again in the name of Jesus. Lord, set our hearts on fire. That in our houses, in our offices, in the places where we live, it will be obvious that these ones who turn the world around are here again. Lord, do something in our communities by the power of your Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Father God Almighty, all the watered down ideas we have received, all the words of men that came from the ideas of men that have taken residence in our hearts, Father, I pull them down now in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, you who are the one with the eyes like fire, Lord, I pray that you will be enthroned in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Lord, strengthen our weak knees. Lift up our drooling hands. Sharpen our dull vision. Open our mouth again. Fill us with your word afresh in the name of Jesus. Lord, we'll be quoting men mortals, men that have not touched you. We have quoted them here and there to no benefit to your kingdom. Father, take away those empty quotes and fill us with the fresh words of life. Give us the words of this life, that wherever we go, men, we bow at your call in the name of Jesus. I pray for the entire VFC. Let your heavens open over this assembly for those who are here and those who are not here. Lord God Almighty, set your church ablaze in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for those that are seated and those who will yet join. Father, as your word comes from this altar, it will bring about a deep conviction in the hearts of men. Conviction that will bring about a conversion. Conversion that will bear fruit for the kingdom. That will bring disciples in our generation. That will turn our communities around to the praise and to the glory of your holy name. Lord, do what you alone is able to do. Do it, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we will not know rest until we begin to see your mighty hand at work in us. Father, the restlessness in the disciples that made them unstoppable. They were persecuted. They were killed. They were imprisoned, but they refused to stop. The gospel advanced in their hands. Father, let that restlessness rest upon us. That no matter the activity of the government, no matter the move from the jihadists, no matter the move from the false brethren, we also will move on with the gospel of Jesus Christ in our own generation in the name of Jesus. Father, go ahead and do your bidding. Go ahead and do that which you alone can do. Thank you, Father, for touching us afresh. Father, all this we are asking because we are confident that you are going to do it. It's part of your promise to us. And we receive it. We receive that fresh coal of fire for better ministry. Glory be to your name forevermore. In Jesus' matchless name, I pray. Lord bless you and give you grace for greater ministry. In Jesus' name.